kingdom of heaven is preached, and every man presseth into it. So tonight we've come into the house of God to press in to the kingdom of God. We are so excited tonight to have missionary Brian Schell, Reverend Brian Schell, with us tonight. And he is doing a work in Augsburg, Germany. And we have just met before service tonight, but and so we haven't known each other for very long, but we're excited that he's here. And he's going to tell us a little bit about what's happening in Germany and the revival that God's doing there. And then he's going to preach to us. So what I want you to do right now is I want you to lift up your hand in the direction of this pulpit. And I want you to pray a blessing on his home and family, on the work that he's doing. Brother Schell, come and preach to us tonight.
Hallelujah. Go ahead and give that to Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. How many is glad tonight to be the house of the Lord? Hallelujah. Amen. I like what I feel tonight in the house. Amen. I like when I come into the presence of the Lord and we walk into the sanctuary and the people of God come with a determination and a made up mind. I'm going to live for Jesus. Hallelujah. There's not many churches that we go to and visit that when you walk into the sanctuary, people actually fulfill the Psalms 100. Uh-huh. Praise God. Most of the time, people will get up and just quote the psalm and say, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him. Bless his name. But I want you to know, when you come into the house tonight, when I got here, amen, there were some people that were fulfilling the psalm. Hallelujah. Because when you enter into his gates with thanksgiving, it's more than just saying thank you, Jesus. The Hebrew word is tada. Amen. Hallelujah. And it means to confess. Amen. It means confess that, Lord, without you I am nothing. Amen. Lord, my day without you was nothing. My day without you was havoc. My day without you was darkness. My day without you was sickness and disease and bondage. But I confess tonight, God, hallelujah, toda rabbah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And so we come tonight confessing that he's able. Praise God. We come with praise into his courts. Amen. I'm glad tonight that we're in an apostolic church that believes in praise. Amen. That believes in the halal. Amen. To rave. Amen. To get beside oneself. To act clamorously foolish. That's what it means when we come into the presence of the Lord. Amen. We have been set free tonight by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. We're overcomers tonight by the word of our testimony that God is God and God don't ever change. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm honored to be here tonight, and I know that there is some anticipation in this house tonight. But somewhere between now and the finish of this service, I hope that we can take what we hear and mix it in faith, because a lot of people are guilty because they hear the word and the word does not profit them, because when they hear it, they don't reach out in faith and latch hold to it. Hallelujah. And so tonight I pray that it's more than just coming in and shouting and dancing and running the aisles and minimizing God to a goosebump. But I believe that we can leave this place charged and with a vision that our faith and our character, amen, hallelujah, can be changed. That the word of God would challenge our faith. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, you can be seated tonight if you would like. I am so thankful to be here. I give honor tonight to Pastor Sutton, even though he is not here, his family, I am thankful that he has allowed me to come, the opportunity and the invitation to be here tonight. Thank you, Pastor Collins, for allowing me also to connect with you and spend just a little bit of time to get to know you and just kind of share our burden. But I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight. And then I want to give honor tonight to all of you, to the sanctuary, or to the congregation of the living God. Amen. Because it's not just all about the pastor and his family, but it's about you. Amen. And I'm glad tonight that you are here. I'm glad tonight that you are here and that you represent Jesus well. Hallelujah. The church is made up of saints. It's made up of people. And I thank you for what you stand for. Everyone that is here tonight, every child of God, thank you. Amen. For being a light in a dark, dark world. Young people, moms and dads, and elders alike, thank you so much for your sacrifice and your commitment to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. I wish my family was with me tonight, but they're not. But I want to take just a few minutes. Is it okay if I pull my coat off? Okay, wonderful. Amen. Just want to make myself at home tonight. But my family and I are honored to represent the country of Germany. Germany, probably when you heard that you were having a missionary, the missionary to Germany was going to be here, probably some of your minds automatically went and began to think about all of the things that Germany is known for. Maybe you thought about automobiles, or maybe you thought about Hitler and the Third Reich and the injustice, or maybe you thought about the Reformation that took place under Martin Luther in the 1500s when he nailed his theses there to the door in Wittenberg, Germany. Hallelujah. Maybe you thought about, maybe your mind just run wild. Germany's noted for many things that's affected our world, not just Europe, but our world. When it comes to engineering, Germany is in the top. So many things that Germany is noted for, but one thing that Germany is not noted for, and that's apostolic ministry. My family and I are there. I understand that Reformation started there. Understand that the Moravian revival took place in these areas and in other places in Europe. But I want you to know something tonight. Germany needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. Germany needs revival. There's over 85 million people, and we took in 1.5 million refugees from Syria and other places, and they need the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, there's more fingers tonight on my hands than there are apostolic churches. We've got a lot of work and a little time to do it. But I'm glad tonight to know that there's nothing impossible with God. And nothing shall be impossible to them that believe. As the lamplighter tonight, I stand representing the gospel of Jesus Christ to the country of Germany. I'm glad tonight that there is still a light that shines, and it outshines the darkness. I want you to understand tonight, as a church, we have power and we have authority in Jesus Christ. We have both. Amen. Sometimes we only think about the dunamai or the dunamis, the power, the ability that we have, and we overlook the exousia, the authority that God has given to us. But to as many as received him, to them gave he exousia, or power, or the right, the authority to become the sons of God. Amen. And when you are a child of God, God invested you with power, and God invested you with authority. Amen. You are a light to a dark world. My wife and my family and I, we have been to Germany now for full time in October this year will be 3 years. I responded to the call 2011 of August, went to preach a revival there. And when I got there, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, this is what I want you to do and this is where I want you. And I knew at that moment, before I ever got off the plane, that this is the calling that God was calling me and my family to. We hit the ground running. My kids, they don't find a stranger. My son was with us at the time. He is now back in the States. He's back in Arkansas. We'll be attending the university there. And but they hit the ground running, reaching out to the people of their age and the village in which we live in, and started inviting people to church. And through that, we met one family. And through that family, we were able to baptize Sister Carola, the mother, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And then her children, David, Suzanne, and Lillian, were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And all three of them were filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. God's opened many doors for us. There's a lot that I could say tonight, and I don't have the time to tell everything that God has done, but I want you to know tonight that there is an apostolic church that is letting its light shine. Darkness cannot comprehend, or darkness cannot overpower the light. The light is always greater than the darkness. It doesn't matter how dark it is, how dismal it is, the light is always greater than the darkness. Amen. Now, I want you to know that it's not going to take place in the hospitals. It's not going to happen through psychology. It's not going to happen through Alcoholics Anonymous and all of these psychological wards and things that are going on. If people are going to be set free, it's going to be because people of you, like you and people like me, grabbed a hold of the Bible and said, Jesus Christ is the answer for our world today. Amen. The gospel of Jesus is still the power of God unto salvation. Amen. It still brings deliverance. It still breaks the chains. It still breaks the yokes of bondage. Amen. We have met many different people. We have got two churches right now that are Trinitarian churches that we are working with. North of us in Nuremberg, there is a Brazilian Assembly of God church that I have preached at, that God has opened the door for us to meet with them. There is also in the city about 20 minutes north of us, a Russian church. It is a Trinitarian church that we are involved in, that we are doing Bible studies with the pastor and his wife. God is opening many doors in the country of Germany. People are hungry. Souls are hurting. Lives want to be changed. They're tired of religion. Hallelujah. They're tired of having the same old thing that they've always had. And that's nothing. The truth is still the only thing that emancipates and sets the captive free. Hallelujah. If you don't get anything else out of this service tonight, understand one thing, that you're a world changer. Hallelujah. The tables are about to turn in your favor. Amen. God's about to bring miracles, signs, and wonders to this congregation. You say, well, Brother Shell, we're having a good time. Don't get caught up in the lie. Amen. God did not call me to Germany to feel good. God didn't call you here to feel good. God called us here into our city, into our place of labor to change the world. Praise God. Hallelujah. People are hurting and they want to be delivered. We have cast devils out of people. Amen. We have seen people get the Holy Ghost. We've seen people baptized in Jesus' name. We have affected many, many people. We've got people from Nigeria. We've baptized people from Cameroon, Sicily, Italy. We've baptized Germans. We've baptized Puerto Ricans. We've baptized Brazilian people from Brazil. There's a hungry people that want Jesus Christ. Amen. My daughter has been very effective in winning people to the Lord. She goes to the school there in Germany where we live, in a small village of about 4,500 people. And she has turned that city upside down. That school, she has gone to the school. We have four young people that are coming. We've baptized a couple of them just this year. Two of them came on a Friday night. I preached and Fiona got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. She's 13 years old. She brought her friend that lives in another city. Her name is Annabelle. They came on a Friday night on a prayer meeting. I was not there. I was actually in the States. My wife texted me after church was over and said, "Hey, Annabelle just prayed through in a prayer meeting to the Holy Ghost." Amen. God's doing great things in the country of Germany. Hallelujah. People want truth. Amen. We don't need to buy into the lie that we've got to unsave everyone to get them saved. That's not the truth tonight. I was just in Tampa, Florida with Brother Pastor Fole, and I watched Pastor Fole for 2.5 weeks everywhere we went. He was telling people about Jesus. 10 out of 10 people, 8 of them recognized that baptism was in the name of Jesus Christ. Out of those 8, 6 of them confessed with their own mouth that they needed to be rebaptized in the name of Jesus Christ. 3 out of the 6 were going to the church, not on Sunday, but that day, and they were rebaptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We have the message that's going to set them free. But they're never going to hear it if we don't tell them. Hallelujah. We don't have to push people around. We can do it in a loving, compassionate way. But we need to let the world know that there's still only one God. And His name is Jesus. And they need to repent of their sin. And they need to be baptized in that name. Hallelujah. And they can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And they can become new creations or new creatures in Christ. Amen. I had a visitor from California, Brother Brendan Claiborne. Some of you may know him, but Brother Claiborne was with us and he was preaching, and we were taking him to the concentration camp there in Dachau. Dachau was the first concentration camp that was built, and all the other concentration camps were kind of mirrored after that one. But we were there, we were parking in the parking lot, and there was a man that had an orange vest on, and he was walking around. He had a bundle of papers. I mean, his arms were full. He was walking around and he was handing out paper to people that were interested that would take one. And so we were making our way towards him, and he walked up and he come up and he gave me that piece of paper, brother. And he said, "I'm talking about Jesus." And I said, "Well, praise the Lord. So am I." And we got to talking to the man, and he said, "Why are you here?" And I said, "Well, I'm a pastor. I pastor in Augsburg, about 45 minutes from here." And we began to talk. He said, "Well, what kind of church is?" And I said, "Well, we're a one God apostolic tongue talk in church," and got to talking to him. Me and Brother Claiborne did, and got to tell him about Jesus' name baptism and about the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And we were there about 15 or 20 minutes, and he said, "Hey, before you guys leave," he said, "would you pray for me?" Right there in the parking lot of the concentration camp, this man hit his knees and he lifted his hands and he began to cry out to Jesus. And began to speak in, I don't know if he had the Holy Ghost or not, but he began to speak in other tongues. Hallelujah. Praise God. Then he gets up and he's so excited. He says, "Come on, I want to show you the church where I'm at." So we jumped in my car and we drove around the corner and we got to a building. And he said, "Come on in, come on in, brother. I'm going to introduce you." He started introducing me to the people around. God's opening doors. Amen. People need Jesus. Hallelujah. And I want to be the key, amen, that God can use to unlock somebody's salvation. Hallelujah. Does anybody want to be used of God tonight? Praise God. Does anybody tonight want to hear the words of the Lord? "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Hallelujah. The stories could go on and on of people that we talked to. My wife walking around the village with some of the ladies, and they began to talk to the about this house and this type of people. And you know, when you live in a small village, everyone knows everyone's business. And so they were telling my wife, "Well, this lady is, and this husband is this, and this family is this." And then they got to a certain house and they said, "This lady here, she doesn't have a very good reputation. She's got kids by different men," and began to talk to my wife. And my wife just stopped her and said, "Wait a minute, sister." She said, "These are the people that Jesus is looking for." And immediately that sister right there, That's Corolla I was talking about. She began to weep and she began to sob because she felt the power of God like she had never felt before. I want to back up a minute. I don't want to leave this out, but the young lady by the name of Fiona, she's 13 years old. She told my wife right after she got the Holy Ghost, she said, you know, she said, Sister Shell, she said, if you and Brother Shell come here and you don't win anyone else, I believe that God sent you here for me. She's 13 and she said, I have been praying. Jesus, I want to know more about you. Jesus, would you please send someone to tell me about you? And she said, if you don't reach anyone else, I believe that God sent you to Germany just to tell me about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And she's full of the Holy Ghost. We're going to baptize Fiona. She's 13 years old. The German law is when the young people turn 14 years of age, they get to make the decision what religion they want to be, or if they don't want to be a part of a religion. And so when she turns, for her parents will not allow her to be baptized at this time. But we're praying for the family. One of the families is kind of backed off from us, but the other family, we're still in contact with them. Matter of fact, they live in the same village that we live in. We are talking with them. They're over at our house, and God is opening doors. We believe that God's not only going to allow us to baptize Fiona, but we're going to baptize her mama and her daddy. Amen. We're going to baptize the rest of their family. Praise God. Hallelujah. I have another man in my family, or not in my family, in the village where we live. His name is Udo and Vicky. We met them through my daughter. And Udo was a professional opera singer for 20 years, and got out of opera. Well, he still sings a little bit. He's been all over the world singing, but he finally realized that there was a calling on his life, and he joined the Lutheran church, and he is a fill-in priest there at the Lutheran church. Well, Udo and Vicky have been coming to some of our services. We've been doing Bible studies with them. Here's their testimony. We were sitting, I had Pastor Torres from Visalia, California. He was with us. We were there talking, and Vicky, this was really the first time she really opened up, and she began to talk to Pastor Torres and tell Brother Torres, you know, we love our pastor. He's a good man, and he's got a lot of good messages that he preaches. And she said, but sometimes he says some things that ought not to come out of the mouth of a priest. She said, but she said, we've known Brian and Sherry for about 2.5 years now, and they are the same. What he is on Sunday, he is on Monday. There's something different about them. Hallelujah. There's people that are hungry. They want Jesus. They want Jesus. We can't offer them religion, brothers and sisters, but we've got to offer them Jesus. Hallelujah. We've got to offer them Jesus. He's the only thing that matters. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we thank God for everything that God is doing in the country of Germany. We are here. We are in. I know the pastor is not here tonight, but we are in the process of trying to continue to raise funds so that we can continue our labor in the country of Germany, because we're expecting great things in God. Hallelujah. God's got great doors that are opening for us everywhere that we turn. He's given us favor with the government. He's given us favor with the people. Hallelujah. Praise God. So pray for us. Bavaria, Germany, southern Germany, the largest state in Germany. We are there in Augsburg. Pray for us. And we are also there. We have two churches. Also the other one in our home in Eindling. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now I want to preach to us tonight. I know that it's 8:00, so everyone just throw away your watches. Praise God. But I want to go to the Lord, or to the word of the Lord tonight, and I want to preach to you what I feel in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I hope and I pray that something is said tonight that's going to challenge us as a people. Amen. As a church, as a body of believers, it's going to challenge us to not have church as we've always had church. Amen. And I want to turn to the book of Acts tonight, the third chapter. Acts chapter 3 and beginning at verse number 3. Now, if you'll help me tonight, we'll get done really fast and we'll let Jesus do what he's good at. Amen. Healing our minds, touching our spirits, reviving our vision, encouraging us, hallelujah, giving us victory and freedom. It's a sad day in the time that we live in today, because apostolic men and women, they can't get the victory that they need in God because they're bound by emotional distress, fear, frustration, aggravation, hinder us. And when we allow fear and we allow these things to hinder us, they blur our faith and our vision of what God is calling us to be. I've been to churches, I've prayed with people that are addicted to sleeping pills because they can't sleep at night. People are addicted to medications because of anxiety and disorders in their life. Bipolar disease. I'm telling you tonight, church, that's not the will of God. Amen. That's not the will of God for an apostolic brother or sister. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. You know why? What happens to us as apostolics, sometimes we minimize that scripture and we kind of take it out of context. Because we'll walk behind the pulpit and we'll say, praise the Lord, everyone. I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That's not exactly what Paul's talking about. Amen. He's talking about where the Spirit of the Lord dwells. It's not the sanctuary. It's not the building that you and I are in tonight. Paul said it like this: know ye not that your body, it's the naos, it's the temple of the Holy Ghost, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Holy Ghost dwells, it's not in buildings made with hands. It's not in temples that are erected by the hands of man, but it's in our bodies. It's in our mind. It's in our heart. And where the Spirit of God lives, where the Spirit of God has the ability to work. Hallelujah. There's liberty. That's why tonight I'm not addicted to alcohol. That's why tonight I'm not addicted to pornography. That's why tonight I'm not addicted to drugs. And I'm not hung up on fear. And I'm not hung up on depression. Why? Because where the Spirit of God lives, amen, there is liberty. There is freedom. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 3 and verse number 3. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Everyone say, expecting to receive something. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And immediately he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you tonight for the word. We thank you for those that are here. I pray tonight that you anoint my mind and my spirit. God, let every word find its place in our hearts. Anoint the hearts of your people to hear. and receive tonight that we are changed and that we are challenged, God, and that somehow that something would be said that would lift our expectation levels out of the roof, Lord. I pray have your way in this place, God. Do what you do perfectly, Father. We love you. We thank you. We acquiesce to your will and to your presence because you are God and you're able to do anything but fail. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, everyone say in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I want to talk tonight on the idea or this thought, this subject, whatever you want to call it, the miracle of expectation. Right. Now, we don't know a lot tonight about the man that was taken and laid at the gate. We know that this man on whom this miracle was done, that he was a poor, lame beggar. He needed someone to carry him daily to the gate of the temple and lay him there. He was not lame because of an accident, but he was born that way. He was born lame from his mother's womb, as it seemed, by a debilitating disorder that from the members of the body. He was a beggar brought daily by his friend to the gate of the temple. On the surface, it seemed like the man was begging for alms. On the surface, it looked like that's the only reason that he was there, because he needed something to sustain him from day to day. He looked up expecting to receive from them alms. But I believe tonight, I go on record to tell this congregation that there was something under the surface of that man, something that beat in the heart of that man, that maybe he had heard that just a little before this time that there was a man that had some disciples by the name of Jesus, as in Matthew's writings, that said that the lame and the crippled were brought to Jesus in the temple, and there he healed them. I believe tonight that there was something inside of this man expecting a little more than just momentary blessings, because the Bible said in the book of Acts that God knows the hearts of every man, woman, boy, and girl. We looked at that man, or they looked at that man that day, and he was expecting alms, but God looked deeper and looked into the heart of that man, and his miracle came because of an expectation that he had. If I was that man and I was in that or that circumstance in my life like he was, and I was not able to walk, I was not able to work and do anything, I believe that there would be something inside of me that's crying out for a creator. God, if you're a healer, I need a miracle in my life. Amen. And the Bible said that he looked up expecting, and God gave him more than what it seemed like he wanted. But he leaping up stood. Now, he didn't do like a lot of folks that I know would do. He didn't run and say, "Hey, mama, look, I'm walking on my own. Hey, daddy, I got a miracle. Look at my feet." He didn't run and pick up his cell phone and post it on Instagram. "Hey, look, I can jump." No, the Bible said that immediately he jumped up. His ankle bones received strength. Where did he go? He walked into the temple of God that he had never been able to walk into, leaping and worshiping and praising God. Amen. Hallelujah. There's a miracle tonight in expectation. Now, I'm finding it more and more interesting to note that God never disappoints me. God never fails, and God never lets me down. God usually does for me and gives me exactly what I expect God to do. God always meets you and I at our level of expectation. Every promise that Jesus gave, every word of encouragement that Jesus spoke, every command that Jesus uttered was a reality to the promises for a greater expectation. Amen. Over and over again, Jesus encourages us to use things like, he says this, he says, knock and it shall be open, seek and you shall find. Everyone that is knocking is continually having it open to them. Those that are continually seeking are continually finding. Those that are constantly asking, those are the ones that are constantly receiving. Jesus is going to meet you and I tonight at our level of expectation. I don't know what you came tonight expecting God to do. I don't know if you come expecting God to just let us have a normal service as always, or did you come expecting God to meet you here and to change your life, to turn your world right side up, hallelujah, or did you come expecting God to just hear about a 30 or 40 minute little sermonette and leave the same way that you came? God will meet you at your level of expectation. God will never let you down. If we expect God to do nothing, brothers and sisters, that's exactly what we're going to get. We're going to get nothing. But if we expect God to heal, that's what we're going to get. If we expect God to set the captive free, brothers and sisters, Jesus is going to set the captive free. Oh, Brother Shell, you don't know how bad the situation is. It's so hard. Times are rough. What do you expect God to do about your dilemma? Do you expect God to be God? Or do you expect God to be fecal and like finite humanity? I serve a God that is infinite. There is a God that has no limitations in himself. The only limitation that God has is self-imposed limitations that you and I put on God. Most of the time we don't get the miracle. Why? Because we tie the hands of the Creator. We don't expect God to do what God promised he would do. That's right. Well, I believe God can. That's exactly right. We got people that can quote the Bible from the front to the back. We got Bible quizzing kids, thank God for it. They can quote the Bible with their eyes closed. The problem is not believing that God can. The issue is, will God do it? We believe that God can. The Bible said, if we lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. But I don't know that God will. I believe that God wants to save the prostitute. But you know what? You don't expect God to do it. Now, Brother Shell, how do you know that? Because when's the last time you talked to one? When's the last time that we went and laid hands on him and said, in the name of Jesus, be thou healed? You see, there's a miracle in expectation. Faith and expectation are the birthplace for miracles. Amen. You know what a miracle is? It's something you and I can't do. Well, our world's in a mess. There's nothing we can do about it. Praise God. The platform is set for a miracle. That family's broken. There's nothing we can do. Praise God. The stage is set for the King of Glory to step in on the stage of life and to raise a family up out of the ashes and put life in them, put hope in them, put love in them, put peace in them. Come on, somebody. Do you believe what I'm talking about tonight? God's wanting this church to raise your level of expectation higher, that when you walk into the house of God, God's going to do everything God promised he would do. It doesn't matter how we feel. It doesn't matter the circumstance. God is God, and God don't ever change. I know God is God, and Jesus is his name. It doesn't matter how hard it is. It doesn't matter how dark it is. God is still in control. Well, I know God is able, but I just don't know if he will. There's a man in the Bible that he come to the disciples of Jesus and he said, hey, can you help me out? My son's in a dilemma. He's got devils, and man, he really needs help. Nothing happened. So he goes to the head. He goes to Jesus. And when he gets to Jesus, the Bible said that he runs to the Lord and he says, Lord, he said, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus looked at him and said, if thou canst believe. The issue is not whether or not if God can. God can do anything. Amen. He's the one that summons those things that are not. He calls those things that are not as though they were already existing. He spoke the worlds into existence. We understand through faith that the worlds were framed by the word of God. The galaxies and the spiral nubias and everything that exists are hanging in heaven because God said, let there be. The problem is not, can God do it? God can do anything but fail. God can cause light to shine out of darkness. God can roll back the Red Sea so that 2 million people can cross on dry ground. God can cause an army to cross the Jordan River that's flowing over. God can do anything. God can do it. If you can help us, Lord. Jesus, I know you know my need, and if you can do anything, God, please help me. God, if you're able to do it, God, I want a miracle for my family. I want to see my brother saved. I want to see if you can do it, God. And Jesus is saying, if you can believe. If you can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. You know what? All it takes to see the glory of God is to believe. When Jesus got to Martha and Mary, they were hysterical. Oh, Jesus, if you'd have been here, our brother would have died. Like that matters. He's the creator of heaven and earth. If you would have been here, our brother would still be alive. Jesus said it was for your benefit that I didn't go. He said, let's go over here. And he said, hey, did I not tell you that if you would believe, that you would see the glory of God? Lazarus, come forth. Jesus, if you can do anything, no. Don't you understand that God is saying, if you can believe me for the supernatural will show up. If you can believe me to set the captive will be set free. If you can believe me to sustain you financially. I'm talking about a miracle of expectation. Where do we expect God to meet us? Do you expect God to meet you always on the mountain? Or do you expect God to meet you in the valley? Or do we expect God to be God and omnipresent everywhere, every time, every day? Amen. It doesn't matter if I'm on the valley, if I'm in the mountain, it doesn't matter. If I'm on the boat or if I'm in the bottom of the sea, God is God. God is there. God is with me. Whether shall I go from thy presence? If I take the wings of the morning, guess what? God, you're there. If I was to make my bed in Sheol or the grave, thou art there. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because I expect God to be God. I will walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort and they lead and they guide me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil and my cup runneth over. That's the God you serve. And God wants you to start expecting him to be the God of the overflow, the God of the... God is able. He's able. Come on, God can do anything you need him to do tonight. God, help me to expect it. God, help me to expect it. Ten % of you believe what I'm saying tonight. Hallelujah. And you're going to leave here the same with the same problem. You're going to leave here with the same dilemma. But some of you see it differently. Some of you see the Creator walking in your midst. You, some of you see the God of heaven standing right now in your dilemma, about to break open a new blessing, a new season. It's on its way. It's a new season. It's a breakthrough. Hallelujah. And it's coming your way. There's a miracle in expectation. God will meet you at your level of expectation. Hallelujah. You be seated. The Bible uses the word marveled over 40 times. What does it mean to be marveled? To stand in admiration or to stand in awe. Humans can be marveled easily. It's nothing for you and I to marvel at the mighty work of God. It's nothing for you and I to stand in awe of the Shekinah glory of God like Isaiah did. In Isaiah 6, when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple, it was an awe-struck wonder. It's not hard for us to be mesmerized by the dynamic power and performance of Jesus. When Jesus stepped out on the boat, he said, "Peace be still." What was he saying? He was a superior speaking to an inferior. And the wind and the wave acquiesced. They bowed down. They gave up. Why? Because they recognized the voice of the master. If the wind and the waves can recognize the voice of Jesus, why can't apostolic, one God, Holy Ghost filled, tongue talking, born again believers, when God speaks, we miss it so many times? Because we don't expect God to show up when we need God to show up. Oh, I got the Holy Ghost. Young folks talking about, "Oh man, I talk in tongues every Sunday." But they doing things they shouldn't be doing on Monday and Tuesday. That's right. Young folks in churches all over the United States of America, they shouting and running the aisles on Sunday, and they committing fornication on Monday. You know why? Because they don't expect God to be God. "Well, I got the Holy Ghost." Well, if you got God living on the inside of you, you've got dynamite spirit. You got power and might and strength and stability to conquer the lust of the flesh. Hallelujah. We got to start expecting God to be God. Amen. When God speaks, let it be. Because the Bible says that the word of God is not going to return empty. It's not coming back void. If God promised you something 10 years ago, you better start looking. You see, expectations, not walking around saying, "Oh God, I wish I could get that miracle you promised." No, expectations. Where's it at? Looking for it. Why? Because you expect God to be on time every time. "Well, Lazarus was dead 4 days." That's all right. God can move the resurrection. He's not limited to time and space. It doesn't matter how late it may be. God is an on-time God. He transcends time. He can step into your past and deliver you from that shameful lifestyle that's been haunting you forever. He can step into your future and speak peace. Be still. That's our mentality. That's finite thinking. But God can step in to any moment, any circumstance, any situation. They were praying and they were sad and they were frightened and they were mad. I thought this was the Messiah. They were in the building. They had the doors locked, the windows locked.
What are we going to do? I thought this was the Messiah. And all of a sudden, boom. Hey, boys. How y'all doing? You see what I'm talking about tonight? We think because we got walls and stones that Jesus can't do it. If that stone couldn't hold him in, if that stone could not imprison him, I want you to know that your walls, your doors, your circumstances, your problems can't keep him out. The only thing that keeps God out is our low level of expectation. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. I'm telling you tonight, somebody is tapping in. You're saying, you're sitting there. You're not really making a lot of move, but your elevation level of expectation is getting higher and higher and higher and higher. And you're saying, God, I hear it. I can hear the sound of the voice of God. I can hear the trumpet of victory. Stand up and blow the trumpet in Zion. Lift your voice like a trumpet. God is God, and God don't change. Come on, God is a healer. God's a deliverer. Brother Shell, I'm sinking in my dilemma. Call out, say man, Jesus. Go ahead. Go ahead. Come on. Some of you. Hallelujah. Loose that Holy Ghost promise. Somebody loose the promise of God in your life right now. Come on. In the name of Jesus. Be healed. I speak against that pressure. Somebody is struggling with a situation in your past. You come to church every service. You got a smile on your face. Praise the Lord. Pastor, I'm doing so good. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm walking on cloud nine. But when you get it home and you shut that door, you begin to weep and you begin to sob. Oh, God, when's my deliverance going to come? When's my deliverance going to come, God? And God sent a missionary to you tonight to tell you, lift up your eyes. Your help does not come from the hills. Your help cometh from the Lord. Right now, in Jesus' name, make a heaven's making a deposit of healing right now. The mental facets of the mind. Come on. God's sending healing. God's sending healing. God's sending healing. Hallelujah. What do you expect God to do tonight? Hallelujah. What time we got? We got plenty of time. Jesus marveled twice. I'm picking back up. Jesus marveled twice in the Bible. Two different sides of the coin. Where do we fit tonight? The Bible tells us, I believe it's in Mark, the 6th or the 10th chapter, where Jesus goes back to his homeland. He's wanting to do miracles, signs, and wonders. He's wanting to be the God that he promised he would be. And he gets to that place. And the Bible said that he could do not many wonderful works there because of their unbelief. And he marveled. And he went around preaching and teaching the word. Jesus went to his home folks. Jesus walked to the folks that are saved, the church. And the Bible said that he marveled because he couldn't do many works there among them because of their unbelief. Now, the Greek word there is apistos, which means absence of faith. Not little faith, not a little smidge or half faith, or three quarters. No. It's absence of. There was no faith. The second time that Jesus marveled, it's in the book of Matthew. Very interesting story. And he comes to a certain city, and there's a man. We know him as the centurion soldier. And he comes to the Messiah, and he says, "Jesus, my servant is at home, and he needs a miracle." Jesus said, "Come on. I'll go down and I'll heal him." And the centurion said, "Wait a minute, Lord." He said, "I'm not worthy for you to step under the roof of my house. But speak the word, say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. I also am a man of authority and under authority. I say to one, go, and he goes. I say to another, come, and he comes. I speak to another, do this and do that, and they do it." What's so amazing about that? The Bible said that all of a sudden, Jesus marveled and said, "Whoa." I mean, it staggered him. "Never have I seen so great faith." No, not even in the house of Israel. What made Jesus stagger? What was it? It seems from the outside that it was just like any normal thing. "Oh, well, I know that if you can say the word, because I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof," and that's not it at all. Let's back up. He came to Jesus, and he said, "Come." And Jesus said, "All right, let's go." And he said, "I'll go and I will heal the man." Now Jesus said, "I will therapuo." That's the Greek word for heal. Therapuo is where we get our English word therapy. Jesus said, "Come on, I'm going to go down and do some therapy on the man." The servant said, whoa. No. I know that who you are, and I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof, but that's not really the point. The point is this: if you'll speak your word, my servant will be E-O-M-I. He used a different Greek word for healing. Jesus said, "I'll do therapy," and the centurion said, no, I know who you are. I am a man of authority also. I say... You missed it. I know who you are. When I speak authoritatively, they do what I say. I'm not going to settle for therapy. Some people only recover 80% when they get therapy. Some people only recover 90%, and some recover 100%. But the centurion said, "I'm not playing that game, Lord. I know who you are. I know that when you speak, healing has to come. It's not just therapy, God, but it's creative miracle power that when you speak the word." And we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. God said, "Let there be light." That's what the centurion was plugged into. "God, you said, let light come, and light appeared. If you say be healed, the healing has got to come. If you say be thou loosed, you have got to be loosed." Help me, God, to reach up and grab it. I'm talking about the miracle of expectation. He didn't come to Jesus to play patty cake or to feel a goosebump syndrome. He came looking for a miracle, and the miracle man he found. There are some of you that are praying for lost loved ones, and you've been praying for years, but you're tapping into what God is telling this congregation. And even now, say the word, "Lord, that lost husband is coming back. That lost child is coming back." That cousin that you prayed for many years, that aunt, that uncle, you better start watching. They're about to walk through the doors of this church. I'm talking about the miracle of expectation tonight. What do you expect God to do? I can't answer that for you. Pastor Sutton can't answer that for you. Your husband or wife can't answer that for you. What do you expect God to do? Brother Shell, I've been in this thing a long time, and I prayed and I've seen prayers never answered. What do you expect God to do? Because in essence, you're saying, I don't expect God to answer my prayer. God is fickle. You can't depend on Him. But He said, I'm the Lord. I change not. He said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. If anybody's changed, it's not God. In every equation of life, circumstances change, variables come and go. But I want you to know Jesus stays the same. I've been in it a long time, but what do you expect God to do? You see, faith influences expectation. What is faith? Well, theologically, Paul gives us the answer in Hebrews chapter 11. He said that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Faith is the assurance. It's the guarantee. It's the title deed of things hoped for. What does that mean? El peace, hope. It means expectation of good or of evil. Faith is the assurance of your confident expectation. Faith always influences expectation. Expectation also influences perspective. Paul said that we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. Why does a man wait for something that he hoped for? The same word hope there is used in the Greek language, that we are saved, that we are, the word saved there is sozo. It simply means a state of preservation. We are being preserved by our expectation of good in God. There is nothing good, there's no good thing that He will withhold from them that walk uprightly. Our expectation is... Your expectation and my expectation is not tied to how good I can preach and how good you can respond. Our expectation is tied to Jesus Christ and what He's able to do. If thou canst do anything, have mercy on us and help us. Jesus, say the word. I don't know if you can, but Jesus, say the word. I believe it, God. I believe You're a healer. I believe that, God, You're going to do it. I'm looking for it. Faith is the confident expectation that you and I are waiting for. By it, by what? By faith. The elders obtained a good report. It's through faith that Cain or Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. What are you saying, Brother Shell? His faith, their faith, influenced their expectation of God. That God, You're the King of glory. You are the God that never fails. It was by faith, through faith, and in faith that the elders obtained a good report. It was by faith that Enoch was not found, but he was translated for having this testimony that he pleased God. Expectation pleases God. When you expect God to be on time and you expect God to perform what He has written, it makes Him happy. Amen. He's not going to withhold good from you. If you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask? It's your Father's good pleasure to give His children the kingdom. Whoa. Well, I got the kingdom on the inside, Brother Shell. Oh, yeah? In his kingdom, there's no sickness. In his kingdom, there's no bondage. In his kingdom, there's no mental disorder. Jesus went everywhere, not preaching the gospel, but preaching the kingdom. What does it say? He went everywhere preaching the kingdom, healing all manner of sickness and disease. In the kingdom of... I'm talking about, where's your expectation tonight? God can do anything. God can do anything. There's a miracle that is waiting in the womb of expectation. Give me just a few more minutes and I'll be done. I'm cutting it way short tonight. Dr. Rosenthal and others clearly indicate that our expectations have a powerful influence and effect on others and ourselves. These expectations influence, listen, what expectation influences. Expectation influences your actions, your attitudes, your motivation, and your perseverance. I wish I had time to talk about being perseverant for Christ. He that endures unto the end. The race is not to the swift, and the battle's not to the strong, but he that endures unto the end, the same shall be saved. You know why they're saved? You know why they make it to the end? Because they have a high level of expectation. Expectation that God loves you drives you to prayer. Expectation that God will forgive you when you falter drives you to repentance. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to take all your time tonight. The Bible says this in Psalm 78 and verse 41. Yea, they turned back and they tempted God. They limited the Holy One of Israel. The Hebrew word, the Hebraic phrase here for limited simply means to pain, to cause agony. What did they do? How did they create pain and agonize God? It was by their low levels of expectation. If you go back up and you read like verse 19, 78:19. Yea, they spake against God. And they said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock. Now they're given the testimony of what God did. Behold, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? You see, they forgot about the miracles. They even told it to themselves. They rehearsed it. This is what God did, and the water came forth. But yet God, can he give table? Can he give a table in the desert? Can he give meat? Can he give flesh? Can he give bread for his people? It was Ephraim that was armed with bows in the day of battle. Because of their low levels of expectation, they turned back and they went the other direction. It ain't time, soldiers of God, to turn your back in the battlefield. Your armor is to only cover the front. Amen. When you march into the battlefield, you're marching with expectation. Amen. Why? Because he's the captain of the Lord's host. It is he that's leading the procession of victory. There's a miracle in expectation. Stand with me tonight as I close. There's so many references in the Bible that I could go to tonight. Abraham staggered not at the promises of God through disbelief, but became stronger. He grew stronger in faith. Why? Because he was persuaded that God was able to do what he had promised. He was that he would be a father of many nations as it was spoken. Abraham did not waver at God's promises through disbelief. But Abraham was persuaded and an expectation that God... How do you know? Well, look at the conversation that he had when God spoke and said, hey, go to Moriah. I'm going to meet you there, and you're going to offer your son, your one and only son. You're going to offer him up as a sacrifice. God, Abraham did not turn and tell his wife, hey, babe, you know, God said, I need to offer my son, and is it okay? He didn't call up his pastor and say, hey, you know, God's putting me through the test. No. The Bible said that him and, here they go, him and Isaac. And they make their way up the hill, and before they start their climb, he said, hey, guys, just chill out. The lad and I are going up yonder to worship. We'll return. So he goes up, and here they go. And about halfway or whenever it was, Isaac looked at him and he said, now, Daddy, he said, we've been through this a lot. He said, here's the wood for the altar and the fire and the knife, and but something's missing. And Abraham looked at his son and he said, Yahweh Jireh, Jehovah Jireh. And they kept on going. He said, the Lord will provide himself. That's what he told his son, a sacrifice. That was before the sacrifice came. And he made his way up. And about that time, the angel of the Lord appeared and said, hey, do no harm to the lad. Paul tells us that Abraham accounted it unto God that even if he offered up his son and took his life, that God was able to raise him from the dead. Even when your promise is challenged and it feels like it's dead, don't forget he's the God of the resurrection. You know, it seems kind of hard. He's the God of the resurrection. He can resurrect hopes and aspirations. He can resurrect dreams. He can resurrect promises. The Bible tells us, and I close with this, in 1 Kings chapter 18, the Lord spoke to Elijah, and he said, Elijah, he said, I need you to go down, and I need you to speak to Ahab, and I need you to tell Ahab to get ready because I'm fixing to send rain. Now, it hadn't rained for 3.5 years because of the man, Elijah. And now God's sending the man that everyone's looking for, that nobody likes, to the one that has the power to kill him. You ever felt like that? You ever felt like God sent you into a land that nobody likes you? All you got's a promise. All you got's a word from God. And he walks up to the man. He says, hey, Ahab. He said, buddy, let me tell you something. He said, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. Then he turned and he marched up the hill. And the Bible says that he put his knees on the ground and put his head between his legs. You see, he didn't pray before he spoke. He had a promise from God. God said, I'm about to send rain. He gets to Ahab and he says, hey, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. And then he began to pray. All he had was the promise from God. I'm going to send rain. Oh God, do it. God, according to your promise, go check. Nothing. The third time, I'm sorry, nothing. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The fourth time, you see, half of us done stopped praying about it. The fifth time, the sixth time, there's only about a third of us still praying. But the man Elijah, the Bible says, was a man of like passion as we. And the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. He prayed the promise into fruition. All he had was a promise and an expectation. God is a God of his word. And I'll pray the promise into reality. I'll pray the promise into reality. I'll pray until It happens. But some of us are like the servant. What do you see? It's only a little cloud. It's about the size of a man's hand. It's nothing promising. It'll fizzle out before it gets here. That's all he saw, the servant. But Elijah jumped up and got on the ball because it was good enough for him. While the servant saw the cloud, Elijah saw his daddy coming to his rescue. The Bible tells us, I believe it's in the book of Nahum, that he has his way in the whirlwind, and the clouds of the sky are the dust of his feet. You need to start. It's not really what it appears. It looks like a little bitty cloud particle, but not really. It's daddy coming to the rescue. It's daddy coming to bring a deliverance. Hallelujah. There's a miracle and expectation. When a woman is pregnant, what do we say? She's expecting, because expectation is the birthplace for life. Hallelujah. Anybody's faith encouraged tonight? God, take my expectation higher. God, when you come to church, God, I'm looking up expecting something. Hallelujah. Praise God. Anybody want to pray tonight? Anybody want to say, hey, God, I need a help. I need help. I need a faith lift tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. People that expect God to do stuff, they're not worried about time. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Go ahead, somebody, believe it. Come on, push your way through it tonight. We already heard it. The kingdom of God suffers. You got to push your way into the miracle.
God is able.
Come on. Come on. If you're here right now, I hope this is okay, and you've been facing depression, I'm going to ask you to come up here. And don't be, but Brother Sheldon, everybody on, it doesn't matter. Do you expect God to heal? If you've been, I want you to come up right here. I know what I feel in the Holy Ghost. Some of you are facing depression. I want you to come right here. Everyone else can continue to pray as they're worshiping. Brother Collins, I want you to come. I believe right now, when we lay hands on you, in the name of Jesus, the chains of depression are about to be destroyed. Hallelujah. Come on. Everyone that needs prayer for depression, I want you to come.